Merry Christmas to everyone.
And to you.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Let's have another round of applause for the young people, their presentation. Praise God. Praise God. It is certainly exciting to see the young people on fire for God. They're excited about the things of God, and you know, that's what it's all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. So tonight I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you today. I thank Pastor and Irene for their faithfulness to the things of God. I'm certainly excited about what God has ordained in their lives, and you know, they're giving hearts, and they're wonderful people that you know, you should really you know, honor God for, and really place the value you know, on their lives that God has actually placed on it. Can you say amen? So I'm very excited about that. But I want to get into what the Lord has placed on my heart. And I know we're in a festive mood, you know, but but I want us to really take some time and quickly review some of what we have just seen as the young people have depicted in their play, and to see some of the things that are really meaningful to us as believers today. Now, the title for tonight's message, and I will go as quickly as possible, is The Arm of the Lord. Say after me, the arm of the Lord. See, the events leading up to the birth of the Messiah, or in the events leading up to the birth of the Messiah, God demonstrated His mercy and His grace by opening up a barren womb to bring forth a witness of His outstretched arm. And then He impregnated the womb of an obscure virgin, espoused to be married, to bring forth the strength of His salvation. Let me read that again. Because you see, it's important for us to really embrace these things. Just before I read that again, it never fails to happen. Before I came, around about 3 o'clock, I went to the barber just to, you know, just to get them all cut. Not just get a haircut, but to get them all cut. And never fails. You know, here I am in the chair, and the conversation starts up. You know, what's this Christmas all about? And you know, my barber proceeded to talk about, you know, yeah, you know, this Christmas thing, it's really a pagan holiday, you know, and they instituted it, and you know all the things they would do on it, and they just kept going on and on. And then he says, hey, what do you think, Rev? And I said, you know, oh, there we go again. So I said, well, I guess it comes down to, what does Christmas mean to you? I said to him, listen, have you had a revelation of the love of God? Do you understand what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world. And the other barber just started to recite it. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, okay, here's the $1 million one. Give me verse 17. Give me verse 17. And I said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I said, you have to understand that while we were yet sinners, God sent forth His Son to die for us. I said, if that's what Christmas means to you, then go ahead and celebrate it, my friend. Just go ahead and celebrate what Christmas is. He says, well, you know, some people are worshiping trees. I said, do you know anybody that's worshiping trees? I don't know anybody that's worshiping trees. So the real meat of the matter is, what does Christmas mean to you? Another man in there says, oh, so it's really a personal thing. I said, no, you got it, brother. I preached my message before I came here tonight. And that's really what it's all about. It's about the gift that God gave to us, His only begotten Son. So in the events leading up to the birth of the Messiah, God demonstrated His mercy and His grace by opening up a barren womb to bring forth a witness of His outstretched arm, and impregnated the womb of an obscure virgin espoused to be married, to bring forth the strength of his salvation. Truly you can say God works in mysterious ways. Can you say amen? In Luke chapter 1, we have a wealth of revelation knowledge, which when understood, internalized, and responded to, sets the stage for living in the glory of his grace. Can you say amen? You see, in Luke chapter 1, I would encourage you to take the time to read Luke chapter 1. It's very powerful. I don't have time to go through a lot of it, but it's very powerful because there are some things in there that you're going to see. You're going to see earth's response to heaven's mandate. You're going to see in Luke chapter 1, we have, the story of Zacharias. And Zacharias was a priest, and he was married to Elizabeth. Now, it's important to see this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, and if you would bring it up for me, Ed, in Luke chapter 1, I want you to see what it says about Zacharias. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, I must admit, when I thought about tonight, I thought, I'll just come and, just say a few nice words, kind words, and, festive, just bless the people and move on. But the Holy Spirit said, give them some meat to chew on. It says, talking about Zacharias, it says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Think of that, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in age. So he's saying that Zacharias, as a priest, you would say that he was esteemed by men. He was well known. He was as well esteemed. And when Gabriel appeared unto him, it's kind of interesting to see what happened. Oh, you've got to take some time to really get into this and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to you. Because when Gabriel appeared unto him and said, you have to see this. I need to take just a little time. Let's go to verse 13. But here he is offering up the sacrifice, offering up the incense, because it was his time as the priest. And the angel Gabriel appeared unto him, and he says, But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Next verse. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Say joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now just imagine that the angel Gabriel appeared unto the priest, who is supposed to understand the things of God, and he gave him this good news. He gave him good news and said, listen, this was going to happen. Your wife Elizabeth, who they say is barren, she's going to bring forth a son. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And the Bible says that Zacharias showed great fear. Move on to the next verse. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Next verse. Let's keep going. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think we read that before. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. And Zacharias said unto the angel, and you've got to get this, whereby shall I know this? for I am an old man, and my wife was stricken in years. Now, there is something about what Zacharias said in that statement that spoke volumes to Gabriel. And here is what Gabriel says. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Mm-mm-mm. What has God promised you? What has God shown to you that you have yet to believe, and he has had to shut your mouth? Because he intends to bring something to pass in your life, and if he were to allow you to speak, you would abort the plan of God. You would interrupt the flow of God. And sometimes he has to stop you from speaking things that are contrary to what he has believed for you. Now here is this. The dumbness of Zacharias because of unbelief is equivalent in today's time to a lack of revelation knowledge. Much speaking but no life-giving substance. Because we have failed to believe what God has said. Just think about it. We're coming to the end of the year, and we should be reflecting. Reflect on everything that God has instructed you and promised you and said he was going to bring to pass in your life. And just examine your attitude. Have you been in expectation? Have you been in faith? Your response made a statement to God. And what you are experiencing now is directly connected to that response. It's important for you to see this. Zacharias, who was a man who was supposed to understand the things of God, he was a priest, he was esteemed by the people, the angel appeared unto him, and instead of saying, "Woo, this is wonderful," and he said wonderful words. I mean, he's telling you, listen, your wife who is barren is going to have a child, and he's going to be so great, and this is what's going to happen. God's going to use him. In fact, he's going to say, listen, he's neither going to drink wine nor strong drink. And he shall what? He shall do great things in the sight of God. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, see right there, Pastor Mike. Oh, yeah, see, not going to drink wine or strong drink. So there goes my drink for Christmas. No, that's what Jesus referenced when Jesus said, you know, John the Baptist came not eating nor drinking, and you said that he hath a devil. But I, the Son of Man, came eating and drinking, and you say, hey, you know, behold, a glutton and a wine bibber. I figure I'd just take care of that right there. So you can relax. And so I want you to see that. This man who's supposed to understand what's going on, he's supposed to know the signs and the seasons. Here it is. God showed up, gave a word. And his response was to cower in fear and say the wrong thing. And the angel had to say, hey, you're going to be dumb until this thing comes to pass. Think of that. I mean, this is it's an event. You can just read over it and don't see the power of it. Now, have you ever wondered why Gabriel, after a few months, Gabriel then appeared unto Mary, not to Joseph? You don't get that. First, now think of it. He went on to Zechariah first. And Zechariah, hey, he didn't respond. He didn't believe. Because of his fear and unbelief, he was dumb. But you see the mercy of God and the grace of God in his life, because at the end of it all, you're going to see that after John the Baptist was born, then his tongue was loosed. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon him. And then he started to prophesy. He started to speak the right things. He started to declare the right things out of his mouth. Now I want you to see Mary's response to the good news. In verse 26, go to verse 26 for me. Still in Luke chapter 1. Now Mary was not like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Mary was obscure and unknown. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Next verse. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice there's a subtle difference there. She wasn't terrified like Zechariah, but she was more amazed at what he said. Thou who art highly favored. He's like, are you talking to me? Me? Highly favored? So she's thinking in her mind, what kind of a salutation is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel. You have to see her conversation. How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? Now that's a logical explanation. A logical question, I should say. How can that be? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come on upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and in the sixth month with, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary rose up in those days and went into the hill country in haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Let's just stop it right there. Let's keep that right there. We're going to go that. So you want to see right here how Mary responded to Gabriel's appearance. There was something different about her response. And if you notice that Gabriel just simply spoke with her, and in her heart, she was more amazed that, oh my God, you're talking to me. You talk highly favored, blessed of God. And so she made that incredible statement that if you and I can get that in our vocabulary and understand this, then you will see that this is the secret. Her childlike acceptance of the word of God is the secret of entering into the fullness of his grace. Can you say amen? Her childlike acceptance of the word of God. Today we are struggling with the same thing. People have heard the good news of salvation. They've heard of Jesus Christ. And they are slow to believe, slow of heart. They are still resisting. I know, Dan, you shared some statistics last week. Over 8 billion, roughly 8 billion people walked on this planet. And over 4 billion have rejected the good news of salvation. Think of that. The good news. And you have over 2.8 billion. I've never heard the good news. So today we are faced with the same thing. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond to the good news of this so great a salvation? How? It's interesting here that when you take another look at the story, you'll see the conversation between Mary and Elizabeth, and you'll see the role of the Holy Spirit in all this. Let's continue, Ed. Let's pick it up. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard, let's back that up a little bit. Let's go to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you've got to get this. You know, I was sharing with a few folks last night that we're going into this next phase of our life group with teaching about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Even back then, you see that the Holy Spirit was involved in this whole process. It says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, just think about this. When Elizabeth heard, there was something happening here. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Mary arose in those days and went into the... What? Come on now. And it came to pass... There we go. And she spake out. Now, let's connect this. We've kind of gone a little bit tilt with that. It says, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, I mean, you're seeing some things happening here where there's revelation taking place. Gabriel showed up. Now the Holy Spirit is involved. Now there is revelation taking place where these two women are having a conversation that is very powerful when you really focus on it. It says, and she spake with a loud voice and said, I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can't be Mealy Mouse, you know, Mickey Mouse. Well, Lord, I just thank you that the devil is on my back, but you're going to get... The Holy Spirit brings a boldness. And it's interesting to see that when the Holy Spirit came upon her, it says, and she spake in a loud voice. Now, this is the woman that was barren. This is the one that was probably set aside because, you know, in those days, to be barren is, you know, it was looked down upon. But something wonderful had happened, and now she's filled with the Holy Ghost. Said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now that's powerful. It says, and blessed is she that believed. Blessed is she that what? For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It speaks to you and tells you that when Mary heard those words, Mary believed. She said, be it unto me. And Elizabeth got a revelation of it. Because the Holy Ghost is on the scene. And here it is. They're having this divinely inspired conversation. And it is just marvelous to see. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded, watch this, the low estate of his handmaid. That's why she asked, what are you talking about? Me? Highly favored? For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is he, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Can you say amen? He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Oh, you've got to see this. Now, here it is. These ladies, that they weren't priests or priestesses, but they heard. And here they're having a conversation that frankly put Zacharias to shame. Because these two women are having a conversation. They're magnifying God. They believe God so much that they're just so excited about what's happening. And they're declaring things. Blessed art thou, O God. I mean, they're just exalting the Lord. Mary's just saying, hey, I got a touch of the grace of God in my life. Because I, who was of low estate, he has highly favored. And that is the good news of salvation. It's the good news that God looks upon us. He looks upon us. You might say, listen, my mommy didn't want me. My dad didn't want me. I was rejected. I was bullied. And you might say, I've gone through many things in my life and I never felt any worth until I came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And you can say now, I understand. Because if you really and truly understand the power of this so great a salvation, then you will never see yourself the way you used to see yourself, as insignificant and having no value. Because through this so powerful a salvation, God has done something marvelous and wonderful in our lives. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So we see the Holy Spirit was upon these two wonderful ladies, and there was a holy boldness. But you also need to bear in mind that Zacharias and Liz, or Elizabeth, represented the past while Mary represented the future. Zacharias and Elizabeth were highly esteemed by men, but Mary was highly favored by God. Can you say amen? You see, when Christ was born, the angels and the heavenly host declared, as the young people just depicted in their play, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Tell your neighbor, God is not mad at you. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Say, God is not mad at you. You see, we see unconditional love resulted in giving with expectation or a purposeful outcome. Let me read that again. Unconditional love resulted in giving with expectation or a purposeful outcome. And we see that. We see that. That God gave us this so great a salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? When you really wrap your mind and your heart around what God has done for us through Christ our Lord, then Christmas becomes significant in your life, because you recognize that this is the beginning of something great that God has done that has never happened before in the history of the world. But God, in his infinite wisdom, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, Christ was the Lamb slain. Can you say amen? But he was born, put it this way, somebody says that he was born slain because there was a purpose in his coming. And his purpose is that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. You and I might have life and live our lives in such a way that we bring glory and honor to his name. Can you say amen? Glory to God. In Luke chapter 2, there's a story. And I just need 5 more minutes. It talks about when Jesus was 8 days old and it was time for him to be offered up or to be, presented before the Lord, that he was brought into the temple and there was this man, Simeon. He was old and he was there, and the Bible says that the Holy Ghost had promised him that he would not die before he saw God's salvation. And this man lived in expectation of that. He lived in expectation of it. And it's just so wonderful to see, Luke chapter 2 verse 25, real quick, and then I'll wrap this up. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Oh, I'm telling you, you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you see the Holy Ghost working, and you glean those precious things. I don't have time to get into it. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost." By who? "That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit." He came by the Spirit. I tell you, in this 2017, the desire of my heart is to be flowing and walking in the Spirit like never before. How about you, saints of God? That's the cry of my heart, is to, you know, is to be so taken with the Holy Spirit, so that, you know, every step of my life, every breath I take, every step I make is in the perfect will and plan of God for my life. Can you say amen? "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." Can you imagine if your coworker says, "Oh, you go to work and says, I just came by the Spirit of God today." "Oh, that's why you've been missing all week." No. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." I mean, that's the way to operate. That's the way to experience this so great a salvation. You know, I show up at your house and it's like, "Oh, I came by the Spirit of God." And really, I came because God intended for something wonderful to happen. But he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "A light to lighten the Gentiles." Now that's all of us except for Mariah. No, all right. Oh, y'all didn't get that one. She's of Jewish descent. As a good friend of mine said, hell is a Gentile problem. No, don't go. Oh, you skipped. Okay. It did sound a little funny there. It says, "Lord," this is Simeon speaking, "No, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should never see death until he sees the Lord's Christ. He says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was one Anna, a prophetess. Oh, I just love it. The Lord, you know, the Lord likes to, you know, he likes to really show his heart. You know, he likes to balance it, you know. I mean, he brought the man in, then he brought a woman in. Because, you know, in the sight of God, the man is not more important than the woman. You know, in the sight of God, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are of equal value. You have to understand, back in those days, the women would be sitting on one side of the synagogue. And the men would be on the other side of the synagogue. And, you know, and they can only get together when they leave and go home. But I love it. The Lord balanced it out. You know, Simeon saw it. But then there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers and night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What was upon him? The grace of God was upon him. So we see that he came to be a light to the Gentiles, so that you and I could see beyond the cunning trickery of the enemy a light to dispel the darkness of this world so that we can come into the fullness of what God had in his heart when he created man in his image and in his likeness. The glory of Israel. He was the glory of Israel, his people Israel, because he had chosen that nation because of Abraham. And you know it. He remembered his covenant with Abraham. And we know how it all came down, how he preserved the lineage of Jesus. I don't have time to go in there. But then there's one other thing that I want to mention. And we find it in 1 John 3:8. Then I'll be done. The one to destroy. Why don't you bring that up, Ed? Bring that up real quick for me, Ed. Because I want to, I don't have time to get in there, but it's a teaser. In 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Here's another scripture. If you really take some time to read into that and really get a revelation of it, it will change your life. Because he said that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you say amen? But if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're born again, it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested." So we're celebrating his birth. He came with a purpose. His purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. And if you read the rest of it, you will see it says, "He that is born of God cannot sin." Because you see, he came to neutralize the effects of sin in your life. Oh, you got to chew on that one. I know that's a little radical, but I tell you, you get a revelation on that one and you'll see. It says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin." Now, you can't just throw these scriptures out. Because, some people just don't understand it. But it's the power of his birth, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection that causes you and I, who now are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to be able to understand that, praise God, I can live in the glory of his grace because for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy or neutralize, make of none effect the works of the devil. Now that's heavy stuff right there, but I'll leave it the way it is. So he came as a light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, and he came to destroy or to neutralize the works of the devil. Today, as you celebrate Christmas, I know I had to go fast. And I know this might be a little heavy for some of you. I know you were expecting me just to do a little, happy thing. And I must confess something to you. Oh, some of y'all perked up right there. Oh boy, what is he going to confess? I must confess I was tempted to come with something a little. But I wanted to be obedient to what the Spirit of God laid on my heart. Because I wanted you to see, I wanted to contrast, to see Zacharias' response to the good news and to see Mary's response. I'll tell you, thank God for those wonderful women. In the church today, you have, it's women who have kept the doors of the churches open in a lot of countries. Because women are quick to hear and to believe and to to rejoice in the things of God. My mother was one of those. She blessed me with her lifestyle, because I saw how she believed God. It says, Elizabeth said unto Mary, when you read it, it gives me, goosebumps. Blessed art you who believed. That is what's going to make the difference in your life. Are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe the good news? Are you going to see the significance in why Jesus came, why he was born into this world? It's not just so we could put up a nice tree and have our gifts and celebrate, but it's to really see the significance of his life. He came that we might live. He came that we can celebrate. He came. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you believed that? Have you wrapped your mind around that? Have you connected that to say, thank God that he came? Because when you see that, then in your celebrating of Christmas, then you can go ahead and say, man, for God so loved that he gave, and I can never outgive God. And so I can be a blessing to my family. I can be a blessing to my kids. I can be a blessing to my neighbor. I can go on and just be a blessing because I know who I am. I know in whom I have believed. I understand the power of God's unconditional love and that it compels you to give and to be a blessing. Now you can celebrate and enjoy your Christmas, but you're having your enjoyment, but it's undergirded by truth. You understand. Hey, it's not about, you know, the guy, the barber says, oh, well, Jesus was born in December. I said, no, he wasn't. But I said, the most significant thing is that he was born. Do you believe that? And I said, hey, we celebrate. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate. And if you can celebrate, it will be all right. Amen? Praise God. Just stand to your feet. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Praise God, praise God. Well, I just thank God for all of you and for you know, for just the wonderful privilege that we have to really celebrate in this country without any kind of fear. We can gather in this place and to have the service and to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift up your hands towards heaven. Just lift up your hands towards heaven and just thank him. In your own words, just thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for his powerful birth. I thank you, Lord, for his powerful death and resurrection. I thank you, Lord, that he's now seated at your own right hand. And that now, I who was lost have been found. I who was insignificant now have significance. Lord, I thank you that as we celebrate the birth, as we celebrate in this Christmas season, we are a people who celebrate with understanding. We are a people who do this and everything else to your glory, O God. We just thank you for your faithfulness unto us. We just thank you for your love. We thank you, O Lord God, for the spirit of generosity that is within our hearts. That as we go forth, O Lord God, we can be a blessing, not just to our families, but to our neighbors, to our friends, to well-wishers, that we can truly showcase your glory. We can truly be an expression of your covenant in the earth as your people who are called by your name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. And everyone in agreement says, amen. Praise God. Pastor, would you come? Hallelujah.